Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. And I would like to begin the broadcast in prayer, and then I'm going to read a few passages selected out of the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, you see everyone who's listening. Lord, you see those that have been going through some severe trials. There's a woman that has been deeply hurt by a loved one, the things that were said. And Father, right now I'm asking you to comfort her. Lord, let your grace and your mercy flow to her. Let her experience your love. And also, Father, give her the wisdom to know how to respond, where to go from here. Give her the wisdom that she needs. Father, I ask you to heal those emotional wounds, strengthen her, and make her strong in the strength of the Lord. And Father, for every listener, you know their varied needs, needs for physical healing, needs for emotional strength, needs for spiritual strength. Father, I take authority over the work of the enemy that would bring testings and temptations. Father, there's a brother wrestling. He just does not want to fall again. And so, Father, I ask for that grace right now that he will not, but he will keep his face set as a flint toward you upon the things of God. And, Father, I remind you of your promise. You won't give us more than we can bear. You won't allow us to be tested above what we are able to resist and to rebuke. And so, Father, I release that provision in his life, Father, in the name of Jesus. I praise you and I thank you for it. Let your blessings be upon this broadcast. And Father, as we gather around your word, I pray that every single need of heart, mind, and soul will be met as you minister by and through the Spirit of God. Amen and amen. All things are possible with you, Lord. Praise God. All right, going to the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I'd like to start reading at verse 10, which says, as it begins, we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. This is reference to the old covenant, which was necessary for that time. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He's all heaven is waiting for that day. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. All right, we understand this is all describing the atoning work that Jesus Christ did through his death, suffering, and resurrection. Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Remember, the high priest could only come once a year on the Day of Atonement. We have a new and living way, verse 20, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Years ago, that's why Brother Glass named this Unveiled Christ. It talks about the resurrected Lord of glory with his glorified body as he appeared to John in the book of Revelation. That veil of his flesh was torn. And verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, that's Jesus, this is the word for us today, beloved. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And I think this is an area the enemy has really been attacking some of you with, that you would not have, you would not hold fast to that full assurance of faith. He wants you to waver and doubt the goodness and the faithfulness and mercy of God. This verse 23 says, he is faithful that has promised. Praise God. And so whatever your needs are today, God loves you, and he's reaching out to you through this broadcast to give you hope, to encourage your heart that all will be well. It may not look that way in the natural. That heaviness, that discouragement, that depression, I rebuke right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I release your hope and your faith, which you have given to us. You will perfect, Lord, that which concerns us, so I can pray this in absolute confidence and faith that you will hear and answer this prayer. Praise God. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, I again would like to turn to another portion of the New Testament found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'd like to read verses 9 and 10. I've entitled this message, Glory in Infirmities. In terms of the ways of the world, and unfortunately, much of the church sometimes is influenced by that big is better, the stronger, the more powerful you are, that is much to be preferred over weakness and inability and insufficiency. We say amen, glory to God, and we can shout and praise God. But as you really read the scriptures, you know, I am overwhelmed by the revelation that God gave Paul. Now, those that Jesus called as his disciples, they weren't learned men. They were simple fishermen. They weren't studied. In fact, they, you know, experienced scorn and rebuke from the religious leaders because they were uneducated. All they knew was how to fish, cast nets over their, you know, on the side of their boat to catch fish and make a living. But Paul said that, and he wrote most of the New Testament. God gave him an amazing revelation. And in verse 7 of chapter 12, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. And at one point he was stoned and probably left for dead. He probably at that point experienced the Lord in heaven, the third heaven, but he was, as the believers gathered around him, he rose. And of course, even though the enemy tried to take his life in ministry, God was not going to allow that until the time he had ordained. So it says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, earlier this week, we talked about Uzziah, and he prospered as long as he sought the Lord. But when he got strong and prosperous, and he had built up Jerusalem, and not just the city with the towers and with weapons of warfare, but out in husbandry, he had made towers in the desert. He was tremendously blessed until his heart was lifted up in him. And then he presumed to go into the temple of God and burn incense, which was only strictly allowed by the priests, the sons of Aaron. And he became a leper until the day of his death. But God was going to make sure this didn't happen to Paul, so he gave him a thorn in the flesh. Now, what was the thorn? Well, I will leave you to your research and study. There are those that said it was physical infirmity. He had weak eyes. Others say that it wasn't any physical affliction at all. It was the Judaizers who tormented him and followed him from town to town and city to city. Nonetheless, it really doesn't matter. Whatever it was a source of pain and discomfort to him. Can you imagine a thorn in the flesh? That hurts and doesn't feel good. So, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, verse 8, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, this is the Lord speaking, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That was what God told him. Are we to glory in our infirmities? You know, so often we don't have to be reminded. We don't have to be have our weaknesses pointed out. We're very well aware of them. But the Lord said, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul." And he's saying that to you, brother and sister. God's strength is made perfect in the things that you consider yourself so weak in. And so Paul, what was his response? He said, "Oh, if that's the case, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." There's another portion of the scripture, I don't remember exactly where he says it, but they say, "Oh, Paul's, his letters are really bold and really powerful in his person, in his personality, in his physical presence. He's not that impressive." So Paul, you know, had his thorn and his cross to bear, as we all do. But please, the word of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is prompting me and prompting you, trying to encourage you that the things that you find most negligible, the most distressing in your person, whatever that might be, emotionally, mentally, physically, it is a source of where you can glory in God. You're going to have to rely on God's strength, and He will perfect that which concerns you. There is a marvelous passage found in 1 Corinthians, and he says basically God has, here we are, in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, nor many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." So, beloved, this is maybe an unusual sort of message, but I suggest we can start glorying in our infirmities as Paul did, that we might be able to see the results to some measure that he experienced, God's strength in our weakness. Praise God. Well, my time has flown. I'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me. If you have prayer needs, our announcer will give you our contact information. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,